Today on Stories Unbound, launching your kidlit career part 2, critique groups. Welcome to Stories Unbound, your guide to the growing world of kidlit and children's book publishing. I'm Shauna JC Tenney. I'm an author and an illustrator. My story went from personal project to published book, and I want to help you do the same in an ever-changing industry. Hi, Stories Unbound friends. Today, as of the day I'm recording this, it's a beautiful autumn day, and I just went on a walk, and it was lovely, and I just enjoyed the sunshine. I just hope you guys are having a great day, or at least after this podcast, you will be having a great day. As you know, my book Brunhilde's Backwards Day came out a couple months ago, and since then, I've been learning a lot about book promotion. We're actually going to talk about book promotion in a near future episode of Stories Unbound with a special guest. But anyway, in all my craziness, I set up a blog tour. And if you don't know what that is, basically I contacted a bunch of bloggers and I either wrote guest posts for them or I had my publisher send a copy of the book to them so they could write a review. And I set all of this up in consecutive days so Brunhilde could have a tour throughout the internet. Besides guest posts and reviews, the tour also includes book giveaways, which is fun. The main reason I wanted to tell you about the tour is I wanted to tell you about my guest posts. I wrote 4 guest posts. 3 of them are about writing picture books, and 1 is an illustrator's interview. All of them have good tips on writing and illustrating picture books, and I thought you might enjoy them. You can find all the posts for my blog tour by searching on Twitter for the hashtag Brunhilde's Blog Tour. And I will also post a link to the blog tour on the show notes for this episode. All right, let's talk about our episode today. Last time we had part 1 of our series, Launching Your Kidlit Career, and my guest co-host Manel Oliphant and I talked about going to conferences and networking at conferences. And today in part 2 of Launching Your Kidlit Career, we will talk about critique groups. Creative community is vital for kidlit illustrators and authors. In this episode, guest co-host Manel Oliphant and I talk about how to get the most helpful feedback from your critique group. Keeping criticism positive with the critique sandwich technique. Digital versus physical meetups. How critique groups deepened our understanding of the children's publishing industry. And how a critique group can help you stay focused on your goals. Just a quick note, Manel and I talk about circles of trust. And there's a Paperwings podcast here at the Oatly Academy that talks more about circles of trust. Check out oatlyacademy.com/go/COT to learn more. And one more thing before I dive into our main feature today. In 2017, we will be launching a workshop that will be exclusively for picture book creators. If you want to be the first to learn about details as they develop and the first to enroll before we open it up to the public, go to oatlyacademy.com/go/unbound workshop and join the early notification list. All right, let's jump into our main feature. So I have Manel again with me today for part 2 of our series on conferences and critique groups. Hi, Manel.
Hi, Shauna. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. It's always fun to talk with you. And last time we talked about how we were able to meet a lot of people at conferences. And this time we're going to talk about how you can turn those acquaintances into friendships by forming critique groups. And I want to tell you a little bit about our critique group. Back when we both graduated from college, I think both of us were feeling that disconnect. You know, when you're in college, you always get feedback and critiques from other people, like daily. And it's hard after that to be in your own studio alone all the time, trying to guess what needs to be critiqued. So we had a friend who did an event. It was called a critique, where you eat and critique. And we both went to that, and we just thought it was so fun to connect with other illustrators. And after that, I emailed some of the people that were there and, you know, some of my classmates that I knew from college. And after that, we started our critique group, and that was way back in 2006, which is crazy. So it's been 10 years. So the key to keep it going was consistency, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but that's kind of how we formed our critique group.
Yeah, so I was just, as you were talking, Shauna, remembering back then after graduating from college and that feeling of frustration.
Yeah.
You know, because you get those critiques and it becomes a part of your process. And then you feel sort of lost when you can't get that same feedback after you graduate. Mm-hmm. And after that
critique
that we went to, I remember it was you that sent out emails that said, does anyone want to do a monthly critique group? And I remember thinking, yes, heck yes, I want to do that.
Totally.
So I think it's great that you like took the initiative to do that. And I'm grateful that I just was a part of it and got to show up and be a part of that group. But as Shauna said, we had to keep it going. And as she also said, we've kept it going for about 10 years. Almost every month, we usually skip December and July.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I feel like we have a pretty good track record. So if you guys are wondering how we did it, here's how. First, way back when Shauna sent that email, we just set up a time to meet and had our first meeting. And I don't really remember that very well, except that I do remember that there was about four of us that came consistently.
Was it at my house? I can't even remember. I think it was at my condo back when I lived in a condo.
Yeah, your little condo that you used. And then at the end of our critique, we just set up a time for the next meeting. So all four or five of us got out our calendar and we looked at the next month and we put it down and just made it, you know, a priority that we were going to be there the next time. And we just did that for a long time.
We had like physical calendars too, because we didn't have smartphones back then.
Yeah, I don't remember having a smartphone then. Now it's like always in my smartphone.
Yeah.
So I think that's the first key, is when you're at the meeting, plan the next meeting. You know, if you have to wait until you're emailing each other back and forth, when can you guys do it? Then it gets really hard to find a day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So as time went by, we were still going to conferences and meeting people at conferences. And usually when we would meet illustrators there, and even now when we meet illustrators at conferences, we still invite them to come to the critique group, and we get their email if they're interested. And Shauna puts them on the email list. So how many people are on our list now for critique group, Shauna?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, there's many that don't come, unfortunately. They're missing out.
Well, if they all came, it would be kind of unreal.
But. Yeah, but we have around 5 to 15 people that come every month.
Right.
And sometimes we have to split into two groups, but it works out.
Yeah. But yeah, it works out really good. And it's been really nice. So yeah, the list has grown, but basically the three of us plan the day. And I guess that's the benefit of being in charge, is we get to plan when it will work for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then we email, well, Shauna does the work. Shauna emails everyone and lets them know, you know, in advance of when it will be, so they can plan to be there. And then the day of, don't you email everyone to remind them?
Yeah, we kind of rotate between like libraries and houses, depending on the month and the location. We kind of rotate between two counties that we live near. So,
right. I mean, it would be impossible to really get it close to everybody, but hopefully for everyone, it's no more than like an hour drive, at least every other month. So
yeah,
I would drive pretty far to go to critique group.
Yeah. No matter how far it is, it's essential. So
yeah,
I will drive the distance.
So yeah, I think that's the second key, is just make it a priority. So I'm just thinking back, like when we started the critique group, I wasn't married. I dated my husband and got married. And the whole time I was like, oh no, critique group is tonight. I am going. So it's important to me to be there, and just because of all the benefits that I get from it. I think we'll talk about benefits in a bit, but first we're going to talk about, you know, how we structured the critique group and how we run it. So when you guys, first of all, email your peeps and set up a time, and then when you get there, you'll know what to do.
Yeah. So like Manel said, we're going to talk a little bit about critique group variations. For example, a writing group, writing picture books or middle grade novels, is going to be different than an illustration critique group. when you are just critiquing like a manuscript, you would bring lots of copies of your manuscript so everyone can have a copy to look at. If it was just an illustration group, you would maybe just bring illustrations. In our group, we're all illustrators, but a lot of us are also authors. So we just say to bring anything that you've been working on, basically. Anything from dummy books, a sketch, even thumbnails. People bring manuscripts to critique, or, you know, just finished paintings. That's kind of what we bring to our critique group.
Yeah, so I think it's important to kind of decide beforehand what it's going to be. So maybe everybody needs to send an email manuscript before you meet so that people can read it in advance.
Yeah.
Or maybe it works to just kind of show up with your two pages or your picture book manuscript if you're writing. You just kind of have to play it by ear. I think the nice thing about ours is that you don't really have to be prepared in advance.
Yeah.
You can just bring whatever it is that you're working on or just show up and, you know, talk about art. So
yeah. Which I think is a benefit. Like it makes you more likely to come, I think, because you're not like so scared about, I don't have this done. So I'm not going to come this time.
So maybe if you're starting a writing critique group, keep that in mind, like just think it through. Will it work better to have people send their manuscripts in advance, or will it work better to just be able to kind of show up? And you might not be as prepared with your thoughts in advance, but you know, you might be able to keep things more consistent that way. So you just have to kind of decide what will work best for your group that you have.
Yeah. Or you could totally make goals, like say, next time I'm going to have this done, and then it'll be like a way to be kept accountable.
Right. Which is one of the things that I love about our critique group is, you know, when it's coming up, I think, oh, I really need to get this personal project done so that I can take it to this critique group tonight and get feedback on my sketches, you know, where otherwise I might not have done all that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our critique group, specifically what we do when we're there, we sometimes will start out with an industry moment where we kind of talk about stuff that's going on in the industry or like something that we might have learned listening to the latest Stories Unbound podcasts or something like that. And this usually prompts good discussion. And I've gotten a lot of like good tips or like great information from having people tell about stuff that they are learning online. And then like, we'll just start and we'll say each other, say our names, go around and say our names just in case, you know, everybody doesn't know each other. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just pull out our art and go around the circle, and everyone that has something, they'll pull it out and say, here's this thing that I made. What I'm looking for, you know, to get critiqued is this.
Yeah. Yeah. People even bring like their iPads or computers, and you just kind of have to gather around and look at the screen type thing. It's just really informal. Like it's not up on a projector or anything. It's just really informal, but
Yeah. So we're just like sitting in someone's living room or sitting in a room at the library, and we just look at the drawings, however they're presented, and give our two bits and talk about that kind of stuff. So Shauna and I have talked a little bit about how valuable this has been for us, but we have some other people that are in our critique group that we asked to record why they found critique group valuable and why they keep coming. So these are people that come on a pretty regular basis. So they've also made it a priority to be there. And so we just wanted to find out what it was about critique group that kept them coming. So now you can listen to them.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Eichelberger. I have found critique groups to be very beneficial for me and for my craft. Some of the things that I really like about having a critique group is the friendships that I have formed there. Some of my best friends have come from critique groups. Another thing is that it pushes me to make my art better. It makes me accountable for improving my art. There are times when I'll take a piece that, in my opinion, is pretty well done, and I take it there, and I get so many great suggestions. Now, you don't have to take every suggestion that everyone says, but at least take into account and maybe consider the things that people are saying. Another thing is that it does make me more responsible for completing projects. I mean, I don't always complete the projects that I take in and show, but there are definitely others that I feel a compulsion to finish because I've brought it in, we've critiqued it, and then I'm like, I would be completely ungrateful if I didn't take their suggestions and use it to improve the project that I'm working on. In our critique group that we have, one of the things we're trying to make it more regular is we take a moment at the beginning of the critique group and share an industry moment. And that's just something that we do to talk about what's going on. Maybe if somebody has worked with an art director, talk about their experience and kind of the do's and don'ts of working with art directors. Or we talk about maybe somebody who's somebody, not even in our critique group, some artist who has done something amazing and we want to highlight that particular illustrator. Or if we've watched a YouTube video or read an article about maybe composition or color or whatever it is, those are things that also kinds of keeps us involved with the illustrator community beyond our little critique group. It is one of the things that I can't miss. We have it once a month, and I schedule around that critique group so that I can make it.
Hi, this is Kimberly Johnson. I go to a critique group about once a month with Shauna and some other artists, and it's been really useful. After I graduated from college, I was really missing the creative collaboration that happened there. You get so many cool new ideas, and it also helps your art to keep growing because other artists can see things that you might not. Whether you go online or you meet in person, I think it's really important to have kind of a circle of trust to go to so that you can get feedback that you know is valid and well-educated, and you can grow as an artist and come up with cool ideas that you never would have on your own.
So, my name is Nathan Hardcastle. Critique groups are valuable to me because, for one thing, it allows me to get feedback on the artwork that I have. Sometimes I'll be working on something for so long that I'll get used to what I'm working on. I won't be able to see some obvious mistakes that I make, and somebody with a fresh eye will be able to point out things that I've missed. And the more people I have in a group be able to critique my artwork, the stronger I am. Every artist has different strengths and different weaknesses, and when a bunch of artists come together, those strengths overlap, and the more each artist shares, the stronger each person in that group becomes. A critique group is also a great place to share things like art books, art videos, any kinds of learning materials we find online. It's a great way to network with other artists. I get to meet a lot of people that I wouldn't normally know. It gives me connections to people who I may not really know. Often job leads are shared. I can learn about different publishers, different companies. I can learn about the business. It helps when setting goals. A lot of the times, goals are easier to achieve when we actually voice them to someone else. And doing that in a group, everybody has different goals they're working on. And once I tell someone what my goal is, I feel obligated to fulfill that goal. I think it cements in my mind to be accountable for myself to someone else in the group. It's a great place to go to grow because everybody wants to grow. And once I encourage someone else, the goals and things I'm striving for actually become easier with that support.
So we talked about what we specifically do at Critique Group, but Sean and I thought that we'd take a little bit of time now to talk about how to actually critique someone's work, whether writing or illustration. It usually works about the same way. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you want to do is just be aware of the experience level of the person that you're critiquing and what kind of feedback they're looking for. So Shauna mentioned sometimes at our critique group, people will bring their finished paintings. And sometimes all they need is people to say, good job on your painting. Yeah. And that might be it. So just be aware that you might see things that they can improve on. But if it's finished, like, you know, you just need to have that boost of confidence sometimes. So be aware of their experience level and then what they want and be sensitive to their needs. So just think about that in your mind as you're giving a critique, like, is this really going to be helping them or not? Because sometimes, you know, an actual critique might not be as helpful at that time.
Yeah.
The other thing is sometimes people might say things about your work that might hurt your feelings. That's, I guess, one of the downfalls of getting a critique. And I think also just be aware that they probably didn't mean to do that. Like,
people make mistakes sometimes.
Yes, we all make mistakes. So
we're human.
That, yeah, I've probably been on both ends of this. Like, I've never ever wanted to hurt someone's feelings, but sometimes you just have an opinion and it pops out. And then, you know, what can you do at that point? So I try to forgive people, you know, when they say something that might not work for my art or what I was thinking.
Right. I think something that will help with this is a critique sandwich, if you've ever heard of this before. If you think of a sandwich, you start with your first piece of bread, and this is a positive piece of bread. So you're going to start by saying something positive about the piece. And then the meat is the constructive criticism. And that means you're giving them something that they can actually work with. It's not something negative. You're actually giving them something that they can build upon. And then the last part of the sandwich is another piece of bread, which is being positive again. So end on a positive note. And really, if you can't think of anything positive to say, then maybe just don't say anything. Don't critique that particular piece of work. Because I think everyone likes to be encouraged.
Obviously, when we're like making art, we're trying our hardest to do something good. And then we're asking for critique because, you know, we know that we need help, but we also want to know that we can make progress.
Right.
So if you're not encouraging, then it would just be disheartening. So,
right, right. If you're just always getting negative, 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 that's not going to be helpful for anyone.
So yeah, that piece of meat that Shauna talked about is that constructive criticism. You want to point out things that they can act on and change and not give your opinion so much. So if you're not a fan of dragons and someone drew a dragon picture and, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, I hate dragons or something like that. It's not helpful to them, you know. Lots of people love dragons, you know. So it's
not constructive.
Yeah.
And using words like hate or I loathe something, you should never use words like that. You should say something like, instead you should say, this part of the piece is not working for me because, and then tell them why instead. I think that would be better.
And then one other tip that you might want to keep in mind when someone asks for critique on a certain aspect of their work, don't start critiquing something else. So if they say, I'm really struggling with the colors on this, and you start critiquing about how their composition is wrong, that's not super helpful.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be, but they're probably just not at the point where they want to go redraw everything when they're already working on their color studies. So
be aware of what they want to work on.
Yeah, help them with what they want to work on.
So again, like Manel said, you want to be clear what your goal is, but if you yourself are getting a critique from someone and you don't agree with it, don't argue with them. It's just going to cause a lot of friction, and it's just better to just nod your head and listen to what other people have to say. When you're receiving a critique, it's a good idea to take notes. And even if you don't agree with what the person is saying, take notes anyway. And you may look back on your notes later and decide that what they said was actually really helpful. So it's a great idea to take notes. But then sometimes you just won't agree with what the critique was. And that's okay. They're just opinions and you don't have to agree.
Yeah. I know there's been so many times I've gone to our critique group and gotten a critique and not been really thrilled sometimes. Mm-hmm. But usually the next morning after I sleep on it, then I'm like, okay, actually, that was kind of a good point.
Yeah, I think I definitely have had that too. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about the advantages of having a critique group. Obviously, there's a lot of emotional benefits, I think. You have the support of people who are going through the same things as you or similar things as you. And you can relate emotionally to the struggles or be excited for each other, just that kind of thing. You're on the same sort of path in your careers, and it's just helpful to have others that are on that same path around you. And Manel has a great story about that.
Yeah. So there's one specific time I remember before Critique Group, I had signed a book contract with a publisher, and it's actually a publisher that I've worked with now on quite a few mm-hmm. books. We signed the contract and I was all, you know, excited. It might've been my first book, I think, or my first, maybe it's what I think of as my first real book with a real publisher. It was kind of a big deal. I was excited. I didn't want to mess it up, right?
Yeah.
And so we signed the contract and then I didn't hear from them for a long time. And I think it was probably like 6 weeks, a month or 6 weeks later, I was starting to feel a little panicky. Like, why hadn't they got back to me with the manuscript? Like, were they going to change their mind? Anyway, I went to Critique Group and was just like worried about this and brought it up. And our friend Maren Ruse was there, and she has a lot more experience as an illustrator than me and makes beautiful mm-hmm. artwork. And she just said, oh, no. Don't worry. That is perfectly normal for a children's book publisher to take that long to get back to you. And it was a small yeah. thing, but I don't know. I was feeling really panicky. And after she said that, I was like, oh, okay, it's good. And now I know, even especially with this publisher, like it can take a really long time for them to get back to me. And if I hadn't asked that, I would have been panicky for a while.
Yeah.
So anyway, or, you know, I probably could have emailed the publisher, but
sometimes when you're starting out, you're just kind of, I think, scared, and you just don't know how to deal with people, and you don't know what if emailing them would be bad, you know, type thing.
Right. Exactly. I wasn't sure. I didn't want to ruin their relationship. So it's just hard to know exactly where to get on. And so yeah. that was like a specific thing that really helped me. It stuck out in my mind. It was probably like 6 years ago that happened.
Yeah. It's just good to have those who know the industry around you.
Yeah.
to just ask questions.
Yeah, because there's been multiple times that's happened, for, you know, that I've gone to Critique Group and gotten help.
Yeah. So it's good to get the business feedback, but also when you bring your work, it's so great to get like a fresh pair of eyes on your work, because you've been sitting in your studio all day. And I think like telling people what your goals are kind of makes you accountable instead of just sitting by yourself telling yourself goals.
Yeah. Also, I was just thinking, you know, I don't obviously live by myself, even though I work here at home, but mm-hmm. like I can ask my husband for feedback on things, but he's not an artist and he can give me some good tips or, you know, really let me know if something's not working. But Critique Group is so nice to get that specific actionable things to do.
Yeah. And also if you're like stuck on something, like if you're having writer's block or just feeling a lot of self-doubt, you know, it's just good to have people around you that can help you brainstorm.
Yeah.
There's been several times when I've brought a piece or like a sketch, and it's amazing how many fun ideas people have that I didn't even think of that help me further my piece and make it even better.
Yeah.
So it's definitely the place to make a great circle of trust.
Okay, so there's a couple ways that you can do Critique Groups, as far as you can do them online or you can do them in person. Mm-hmm. And I think when we started our Critique Group, online wasn't really an option like it could be nowadays.
Yeah, I think Facebook was just being thought
yeah,
of.
Yeah, it was like brand new Facebook was. And yeah. So, you know, maybe you're really thinking, I live in the middle of the country and it takes me 2 hours to drive to the nearest Pizza Hut or something. I don't know. And you're just not around somewhere where you can have a Critique Group in person, then online is a good option for you. You can try using a platform like Google Hangouts to make it a little bit more personal where you can see each other. But I think it's worth saying that if you can, meeting people face-to-face is better. Mm-hmm. So I can't think of how many times I've been to Critique Group and someone has asked for a critique and you go into a conversation about this artwork or this writing that they're doing and are able to just really do a back and forth in a way that you aren't as able to do as easily online.
Right. You can see people's body language. It's three-dimensional.
Yeah. And I also think I've done, you know, a couple online type things, and I always feel this sense of nervousness. I'm afraid to talk out of turn, and, mm-hmm. you know, technology doesn't really get in the way of meeting in person. You know, no one's internet is going to die.
You won't start just talking without any sound.
Right. Yeah. There's just so many like little things that can go wrong. And then there's just the relationships that happen in person. So online is a good option, but don't fall back on that just because you don't want to put the effort into setting something up in person.
Yeah. So not every critique group is going to be amazing. Let's just face it.
Yeah. Sometimes you're going to go and have a bad experience.
Yeah. Yeah. But how do you keep going if you have a bad experience? Don't just stop going. No. Just realize that it was a bad experience and maybe someone said something that hurt your feelings, but try it again. Go again.
Yeah.
Manel has a fun little story about that, right?
I do. So this one is probably in the 10 years that we've been doing it, for me, the absolute worst that we had. And now it's funny, but at the time it was just so frustrating. So we met at my house for critique group. And mm-hmm. at the time I had just moved back home to live with my parents, and I have a lot of younger siblings. So they were all like at home kind of doing their thing. And so we start a critique group. And the first thing is my little sister, who is now a lot older and more mature, but at the time she was probably about 9. I'm actually quite a few years older than her. So she was this little kid, and she brought her drawings into critique group and had everyone critique them, and everyone was really nice, and it was like great. And so then I was thinking, okay, she got her attention and she's good, but she just kept bringing drawings into critique group. And so we were trying to critique other people's things, and she would like butt in and show her drawings, and I was getting so frustrated. And I can't remember what my mom was doing, but I went in and I was talking to my mom, and I was like, Mom, Laraya is really being annoying. Can you just get her out of critique group? And I can't remember what my mom was doing, but she just couldn't. And so the whole time there was Laraya showing her drawings throughout like the whole 2 hours we were there critiquing. Yeah. And then sometime in the middle, my other two siblings, who are also now older and more mature, got into a fight downstairs, and they just started screaming at each other. So they were downstairs, and we could hear it all upstairs. And oh, it was so embarrassing. So anyway, I had to go down there and be like, everyone can hear you guys upstairs. Like, anyway. And there's like people that came to critique group that night for the first time, and then they never came back. And I kind of don't blame them. Like, it's not usually like that. So anyway, it was bad and embarrassing. But if I had let that, like, you know, be it, if, you know, I had been so embarrassed, or like that I had never come back, like there's been so many critique groups since then that have been amazing.
Yeah.
That I would have missed out on.
For example, our last critique group was amazing.
Yeah, it was. And I can't even explain why, but we all just came away so, I don't know, inspired.
We just had so many good discussions about the whole like craft and the business side of things, and we geeked out about stuff together, like Manel's iPad and iPad Pro
and and how Procreate makes that perspective.
Yeah. it was just a really great group, and we got great feedback, and yeah, so sometimes it's a miss, but you just keep going.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's everything we have about critique groups. We talked about how critique groups build a great circle of trust, and about mindful ways to critique other people's work. And we also learned that the most important key to keeping a critique group going is being consistent. So yeah. Planning consistent groups and going consistently.
Yes. It has been a wonderful talk with you today, Manel.
Thanks.
And I hope we've inspired you, dear listener, to form your own critique group. Manel, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks.
Tell us again where we can find you on the internet.
So my website is manelolephant.com. Is that it?
Yep, that's it. Thanks that's for joining it. Me. For most professional artists, leaving college means leaving the security of their creative community. Have you found ways to stay connected to other artists? If so, how? Come to oatleyacademy.com/go/SU13 and tell us in the comments. Or come comment on anything else you enjoyed about the episode. In December, we will have a long-awaited episode about agents. If you have any questions about agents, literary agents, or art reps that you would like me to address in the episode, please leave your questions in the comment section for this episode. Again, the link is oatleyacademy.com/go/SU13. And please join me next time on Stories Unbound for an interview with visual development artist and children's book illustrator, Samantha Kalis. I'll see you next time on Stories Unbound. Until then, keep drawing and keep dreaming. Stories Unbound is a production of the Oatley Academy of Visual Storytelling. I'm your host, Shauna J.C. Tenney. Our producer is Chris Oatley. Our assistant producers are Anya Marcos and Ezua Ebeneba. Our editor is Kevin Scarborough. Our mix engineer is Zee John Yan. Our copy was written by Carolyn Arcabazio. Our theme music was provided by Ryan Keith and Wes Siepen. Subscribe at storiesunboundshow.com. Find more art and story podcasts featuring insights from some of the most inspiring voices in animation, games, VFX, comics, and children's books at friendsofstoriesunbound.com.